Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Hey guys, it's Rachel here, back with another Upfront interview. Brighton started the season as one of our top disruptors. They made 11 signings and brought in some serious talent, including Manchester United's number two, Sophie Bagley. In a season of ups and downs for the club, she's been a stalwart between the sticks. No other goalkeeper has made more saves than her in the WSL, and there have been standout performances, like when she kept out Man City in Brighton's shock 1-0 win. Friday sees Brighton take on Everton at the Amex, and a win could put them firmly in mid-table. So today I'm catching up with Sophie about her first season at Brighton, learning to play more with her feet, which outfield player fancies themselves most as a goalkeeper, and looking ahead to a big night on Friday. Let us know what you think on Twitter and Instagram at UpfrontPod. Enjoy! Welcome to the pod, Sophie. Thank you so much for joining us. I know Chloe's going to be mad that she's missing out on a GK union. How are you doing?
Yes, I'm good, thank you.
I'm good, thank you. I'm very excited to chat to you, especially ahead of your game against Everton on Friday at the Amex Stadium, no less. How much of an extra buzz has there been around the squad ahead of this one?
Yeah, I think the girls are really excited. It seems like a little while since we've had a game. And obviously we love playing at home, and to be at Brighton, a really nice stadium at the Amex. We're all really excited to get going.
As a goalkeeper on a big occasion like this, what techniques do you use to maybe like keep yourself calm, or is it kind of a very much a next game focus, not something that kind of distracts you?
Yeah, I think as a goal, like, I like to be relaxed anyway, so obviously I'll be doing more of that. And I think as soon as you get on the pitch, you forget about where you are and that sort of thing, and I'm just, yeah, really excited to get going, and hopefully the crowd brings some noise.
I guess because with the outfield players, you know, they can kind of get on the pitch, go on a run, put in a meaty tackle to maybe let off some steam, settle the nerves. For you, is it a little bit about like maybe first contact? Is that what kind of zones you in?
Yeah, I think obviously the first action is really important, so whether that's a pass or a save, you got to be ready. And I think as soon as you get a few minutes into the game, a few actions down, it's just like any other game, and any nerves that you have settle anyway, and then you're ready to go.
Do you have any superstitions before matches?
I actually don't, no. I just like to be really relaxed, and yeah, I'm not really a superstitious person. I'm not sure many of our team are, actually.
It's probably quite useful, because I feel like if I forgot something, that would get me more stressed, if I forgot like one of the things I was supposed to do.
Yeah, no, I would do the same. If I forgot to put my right sock on before my left sock, I'm thinking, oh God, what we're in for today?
The game's lost, it's gone.
It's gone already.
I guess, of course, with any team, there's been some turbulent times in your first season at Brighton. Who's been the calming voice, the calming presence in the dressing room, or is it a bit of a collective effort?
Yeah, I think we've got quite a few leaders in the group. People with lots of different experiences. We've got a lot of different cultures, a lot of different nationalities. So I think we're a really nice mix and everyone stepped up at different times. Obviously, you've got Vicky, who's the captain, and you've got Guro, Maria, a load of experienced heads. So I think each person's has to step up. And I think as a group, we're quite a close-knit group. So, you know, we've all stepped up, got through it together. And yeah, we're only better for it, I think.
Because there was, you know, there was a lot made about the fact that there was a lot of signings at Brighton in the summer, 11 including yourself. And people, I guess, in the media like me, always talk about squads gelling and who can do that quickly. What did you guys as a squad do to try and achieve that? Did you do any team building activities or anything like that?
I mean, I think I came in quite late. I think I came in 2 weeks before the start of the season, so there weren't a lot of time. And then I think a lot of the team were away on international break, so I think it was just a case of getting on the pitch, playing with each other and getting to know each other as we went along. And I think we have done a really good job of that. And I think it's still a process and it's still happening. But I think we're in a good place now, yeah.
You were one of the kind of deadline day signings, right? Yeah. There was like something like 10 minutes.
Yeah, signed at 10:45 p.m. I'm never doing that again.
What are you allowed to tell us what a day like that is like?
Yeah, I think so. So I was in Manchester, so I woke up at like 4 a.m. To travel down because it's quite a drive from there. I think it took me about 5 hours and I got here 9, 10 o'clock. And then it was just a case of going around the facilities. And then we was waiting on paperwork. I don't know, loads of stuff. And then it was getting closer and closer and I was thinking, is it going to happen? And then eventually everything came through at 10:45 and we got it done. So yeah, I was doing my media at 10 p.m. at night. So.
God, like, do you kind of know on a day like that that it's done, or are you still kind of, like you say, watching the clock go, thinking, is the deal gonna get done?
I mean, I think when I was driving down, I thought it might get done early. I think we had the media planned for like 8 p.m. So I think we all thought it was gonna be done by then, and then yeah, time just kept going and I thought, oh no, gonna have to be on the drive back soon.
Oh wow. And then of course you have to do media as well, so like the later it gets you have to stay up. Yeah. And like do all of that. Yeah. What was that like?
Yeah, I mean, it was tiring, but I mean, I was just glad to get it done. And then I think I remember the next day we had another media day and I think my bags under my eyes might have been showing, but it was good fun. I'm glad we got it done.
Yeah, absolutely. I bet Brighton are as well. And obviously it was Mel that brought you into the club. So how did it feel, I guess, for you personally when she left in February, so soon after you'd arrived?
Yeah, I think, I don't know, obviously I was still getting used to everything when you're relatively new at a club. And yeah, obviously Mel brought me here and put trust in me to play. And I was really thankful for that. And yeah, it came as a shock to everyone. But then I think Mikey came straight in and he did a really good job of, yeah, just coming straight in and calming the ship. And I think everyone had respect for him straight away, and that's not always easy. And yeah, we've got full trust in Mikey now, and it's great having him.
We touched on kind of, you know, turbulent times off the pitch. You've had a tough season in terms of, you know, in the middle of winter, you had that streak of games where you had like Chelsea, Man United, Man City, Arsenal, all kind of like back to back. That block of games must have been not daunting, but I guess exciting, right? To be coming up against those kind of teams and maybe getting a little bit of momentum against top sides.
Yeah, I think it was really exciting. I think we had quite a good run. We drew against United, we beat City on the day, and yeah, we was in quite a good place in those run of games. But I think then we had a run that should have been on paper slightly easier, and we didn't do as well as we wanted to. So it was just sort of getting that balance between, you know, the big games, as you'd call them, against the top teams, and the ones in and around us where we wanted to pick up points. And maybe we didn't quite get that right, but I think now we're playing teams in and around us again, I think we're doing a lot of a better job at the moment.
What's it like for you as a goalkeeper in those situations? Because, of course, you're often one of the busier players on the pitch, coming up against a lot of shots. I remember that Man City game, I was at it, and like the feeling every time you made a save, it was like scoring a goal for the team.
Yeah, I think some days you just get a bit of luck as well, and I think we had a bit of luck that day. And I mean, the defending was so resolute that day, and yeah, it got us the result over the line. But I think as a goalkeeper, I think you may be more excited for those games. There's less pressure on you. I think sometimes in the the other games, there's more pressure to try and keep that clean sheet. But I think people know you're going to be busy, and it's sort of expected. And it's, yeah, I get excited for those games.
I actually think I interviewed you after that game, because I was doing it, the post-match interviews for BBC. And I think, I think I spoke to you afterwards. You were absolutely buzzing. And I think some people jumped in on the interview as well.
Yeah, we were so buzzing that day. I think, I don't know how many points we had at the time, but it was a really important win for us to get that 3 points. Obviously, in this league, every point matters. It's such a difficult league. And to get those points against the top team is just, it's a really nice feeling.
For you personally, it's been a busy season. You've made more saves than any other goalkeeper in the league, which is, I mean, pretty cool, but obviously means you're facing a lot, right?
Yeah, I guess so. I guess it's not what we want. But yeah, I'm happy to do what I can. And I think in recent games, we've been conceding less shots and less high quality shots. So I think that's a really positive step as a team. But obviously, I'll still be there if need be.
Yeah, because I feel like that was the case of the Man City game, is you were doing a really good job of forcing them to take shots from far away, which is obviously a tactic.
Yeah, I actually think, I don't really think I had a real proper save in that game. I think most of them were straight at me, but I think it was something like 13 shots on target, so it counted as 13 saves. But I think, yeah, as a team, we did really well to limit their really good chances.
There was definitely one in the second half, I remember. I think it was low.
And
it was
near,
it was a really good save. It was one of those like heart and mouth moments. Actually, the goalkeeper behind you, who has made just a few less saves, is your opposite number on Friday, Courtney Brosnan. What do you think? Like, do you kind of look across other keepers' performances? Do you learn from how other keepers set up? Like, you know, we often talk about field players and who they admire and stuff like that. What about you?
Yeah, I think obviously as goalkeepers, you have respect for each other. I think everyone knows what a difficult job it is. So, yeah, I think within the league, you normally know a couple keepers quite well. I know Courtney a little bit, and she's a great person, great goalkeeper. I think we have that mutual respect. But also, I hope she's busier on Friday.
and not making as many saves as you and what's your journey been like as a goalkeeper? Because I think the goalkeeping journey has massively shifted over the last few years. You know, I remember, you know, the stick goalkeepers used to get, and then the 2019 World Cup felt like a real turning point where one of the topics of conversation was the unbelievable goalkeeping. What has your journey been like in terms of what you feel is required from you as a goalkeeper now?
Yeah, I think obviously it's changed. I think teams like possession-based keepers more, so you need to be good with your feet, and especially the way we're playing at Brighton at the moment, that's a big part of our game. So that's probably something I've had to work on and adapt to. But yeah, I think you still need to be a goalkeeper at the end of the day and still make saves. So I think it's a balance between those.
Because you guys are, you know, definitely working on playing out from the back. That's something that you're keen to do, and obviously you're heavily involved in that kind of play.
Yeah, I think I'm probably more involved with like the build-up play than I've ever been in my career. So obviously that's new for me, but I'm really enjoying it, as is the whole team. So we're looking forward to improving on that and, yeah, keep building.
It's one of those ones that when you're watching it sometimes, you're just like, oh my God, this is so nerve-wracking. But also, to be good at it, you need to keep doing it, right?
Yeah, you just got to keep doing it. I have the confidence to keep doing it. And, you know, it might not go right all the time. And fans sometimes look at that and think, oh, it's not working. But it is a process, and we're looking to be really, really good at that in the future.
How do you train for that in training? Because I imagine it's quite hard to replicate that kind of match day pressure or that match day press. And I guess teams can press you differently, right? So how do you try and train for that?
I mean, I don't think you can ever replicate the press, but obviously you can sort of look at your opposition that you're coming up against, see what they might do. But yeah, on the day, you just have to adapt to what they do, find the solutions. Obviously, the coaching staff are there to help, but we try and find it on the pitch as well. And yeah, it's just about adapting to whatever the team throw against you.
What do you feel like you've learned about yourself as a goalkeeper this season? Because I guess if you're making a lot of saves and you're really busy, you're probably not at the top of the table, but it's probably really beneficial for you individually as a player to have those kind of seasons.
Yeah, I think obviously I played for Bristol for a while and it was a similar story. I was busy there, so I'm used to it in that respect. I think, yeah, obviously this season we're playing more on the ball, and that's something that I've not done as much of. So it's a mix, but I enjoy being busy. I enjoy helping the team. Obviously, we're trying to limit the chances the opposition has, but yeah, I like being involved in the game.
Coming up after the break, Sophie on Mary Earps, training with Elizabeth Turland, and which outfield Brighton player fancies themselves as a bit of a goalkeeper. Back in a minute.
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
We've obviously just had the FA Cup semi-finals, and one of the big talking points was Mary Earps and her performance. Did you catch the game? If so, what did you make of it?
Yeah, I saw some of it, and I've seen her save blasted everywhere this morning. It's great for her to have a good game. I think, obviously, United have had a tough season at times. It was nice to see them get that result, and obviously they're off to Wembley again.
What was the dynamic like between you two and what's it like, I guess, with goalkeepers when there's a lot of you in the squad, and how do you learn from each other and challenge each other?
Yeah, we got on really well, as having, I think, every goalkeeper union I've been in. I think it's important to have that good working relationship with them. It's important that you drive each other every day. But also, yeah, you spend so much time with each other, it's important to get on, you know. And I think we have that here as well with Katie Startup, Melina, Keats, the goalkeeper coach. I think we've got a good working relationship, and that's only positive for everyone in there.
And in terms of, you know, hopes for potentially playing for England one day, there's a huge amount of goalkeeping talent in the country at the moment. Is that something that's kind of in the back of your mind all the time?
I think that's something that's probably a bit out of my control. I can only control my performances on a weekend. And that's what I've been trying to look after this season, is that. And I think I've had an okay season coming off the back of not playing for a couple of seasons. So I'm just going to concentrate working week in, week out, and whatever happens from there happens.
An okay season. I mean, anytime I see Brighton play, we're generally at some point talking about some unbelievable save you've made. And I know Chloe will kill me if I don't point out that goalkeepers often don't get the credit they deserve in your position, because I guess when you're busy, it means your team is often up against it. So do you feel sometimes that maybe means you don't often get, as a goalkeeper, the credit you deserve, because maybe people are looking more widely at, like, a result, for example?
I mean, yeah, I guess sometimes, but I guess that's the same with any position, in that if you score two goals and don't win, then you're maybe not getting the credit you deserve. But yeah, I think, I don't know, I think within our team as well, yeah, we all have each other's backs. We celebrate everything. So whether that be defensive block, a save, a goal, we celebrate everything. And we like to build each other up.
The good thing is, as well, though, I guess, is, you know, Mary Earps has won some big awards recently. Goalkeepers are finally getting some recognition, right? Like, that's pretty cool. In terms of you as a young goalkeeper, did you ever think a goalkeeper would be getting such big plaudits and that kind of thing?
No, I think, like, historically, goalkeepers don't really win those sorts of awards. So I think, yeah, for Mary to have gone and done that is great. And it obviously sets the standard that young girls who are goalkeepers coming through, they can achieve those sorts of things. And yeah, they have a someone there to look up to do that now.
Are you seeing more of that in terms of fans that want pictures and selfies and stuff after the game? Are you seeing more young girls wanting to be goalkeepers?
Yeah, there's quite a few now, actually. You see the kids in the goalie kits. The kids want your gloves. They say, oh, yeah, I'm a keeper. When I say good. No, it's good to see, because I think, obviously, everyone growing up wanted, you know, you want to be a striker, you want to score goals. But obviously now there's more role models about, and I think, yeah, there's more kids wanting to become keepers.
Back to Brighton and at the top end of the pitch, I know you said kids often want to be strikers. Well, Elizabeth Turland has had quite the season for you guys so far, 12 goals in 18 WSL games. What is she like to train with from a goalkeeper perspective?
Yeah, we have a little bit of a competition, actually. Each day before training, we say who's going to win today, whether we count the goals and the saves. So it's quite nice to have that sort of relationship and, yeah, come up against each other every day. And she always pops up in the important moments, scores the important goals to win us games. So, yeah, I think it's really nice having someone like her, you know, to face up against in training. We're testing each other. Same with a couple of other girls. Maddie's like it as well. So, yeah, it's good to have that competitiveness.
Who is winning the competition, more importantly?
I'm going to say me, aren't I? She's not here.
We've got that on record.
It depends what the session is. If it's a shooting drill, she's probably more likely to win it. But no, it's good.
What do you think makes her a great finisher? Like, I guess what's the common theme between the kind of forwards that you, as a goalkeeper, might, like, that might put the fear in you a little bit when you see them coming?
Obviously, I see what she does, like, day in, day out. She works really hard. But I think she's quite instinctive. I think lots of her goals, she doesn't have a lot of time to think about it, and she can just, yeah, produce it when it matters. I think if you look at a lot of them, the ball drops her and she just finishes quickly. And obviously, that's hard as a keeper to be able to read that. And yeah, I think she's a really instinctive number nine.
I guess having a striker like that in your team is really beneficial for you as a goalkeeper then preparing for coming up against other very good strikers.
Yeah, 100%. I think, yeah, there's a lot of great finishers in the team, and it's really fun to be in those shooting drills against them. And obviously, yeah, it prepares them for coming up against other keepers, prepares me for coming up against other strikers. And I think when you've got someone like Terry, you always know that you're in the game, you can score a goal. So yeah, it's a really nice feeling.
Do you ever stick them in goal during training?
There's a couple that fancy it, actually, but I'm not sure. I'm not sure they're really as good as they think they are in goal.
And if you were to pick, if one player had to go in goal, outfield player, if you were really stuck as a team, who do you think would be the best one?
Oh, I think Pauline fancies herself. I think Julia would give it a good go as well, actually.
You reckon?
She's shorter than me, though, so, I mean, she's going to have to get jumping, isn't she?
Nothing wrong with short keepers.
Nah.
Okay, there's obviously 4 games left of the season. How do you think you'll look back at the campaign for Brighton?
I think probably a bit mixed. I think, you know, we want to finish it strongly now. We've got 4 games. I think we can pick up quite a few points in those 4 games. So hopefully, coming off the back of these 4, we'll look back and say, you know, we had a real strong end to the season. Yeah, I think we've picked up some good results. I think we've not picked up results where we wanted to in some places. So I would say a mix, but overall positive. We're sitting mid-table at the minute, and we know we can climb the league a little bit more if we get those results.
And I guess those big games kind of shows you where you can be, right? So it's getting that consistency, I suppose.
Yeah, I think we've definitely shown glimpses of what we can do and what we can produce against the top teams. I think obviously we need to do that more consistently. We need to keep building on the style that we want to play. And yeah, it's a process, but I feel like we're really heading in a good direction, especially towards this back end of the season.
I feel like this season has been a season of teams knocking on the top 4, if you like, getting surprising results against the top 4. But where they've struggled then in the middle of the table is in beating teams in and around them. But do you think that's maybe a sign of the progress, I guess, that we are seeing teams able to take points off the top teams or the top 4, however you want to label it? And once you get the consistency of in and around you, that's when things start to get spicy.
Yeah, 100%. I think obviously Liverpool have had a good season this season. They've took points off the top teams, and they've also done well against the teams around them. So I think, yeah, it's getting that consistency. But the league is so competitive. I think any game you go into, it's a battle, I think, for any team as well. So yeah, it's difficult, but I think it's getting that consistency, getting those wins consistently against the teams around you.
And for you personally, looking back across the season, would this be one of the seasons maybe where you felt has been one of your best, or you've learned the most, or have you experienced that before in a different year?
I don't know. I think with the league getting more competitive year on year, it obviously gets a little bit harder. So I'd like to think I've stood up to that. And I can still play within the league, and people say it's the best league in the world, so it's obviously, you know, a privilege to play in that. I think I've really enjoyed this season. It's been good to play. It's been really nice to be here at Brighton with the girls, and yeah, I've had a really good time.
Brighton, of course, are also a club that are very much like eyes fixed on the future, plans for a new purpose-built stadium for the women's team being one example, obviously your training facilities as well. How important is that for you as a player, I guess, when you sign, but also for the future?
Yeah, I think obviously the training facilities they've got in place already are unbelievable, and it just gives you that platform to build on. And obviously with the new stadium, that would be great. I think the girls would all be really, really excited to play in that new stadium and, you know, create our little home and keep getting more, the fans that are coming, keep getting more fans. But yeah, I think it's a really exciting time to be at Brighton. And yeah, hopefully everyone comes on to the game on Friday too, and we can show how many fans we can get and what we can produce.
And one last thing would be, you know, for those young girls you might be giving your gloves to or signing things for, what is your message to them as young goalkeepers?
I think just to enjoy it. I mean, you can see now the role models that you've got. You can see what you can achieve, but you've got to enjoy goalkeeping. Otherwise, yeah, there's no point. It's a tough position sometimes, but yeah, enjoy making saves and enjoy stopping those strikers.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for joining us. Best of luck at the Amex on
thank
Friday,
you.
Hopefully bringing all 3 points. And congratulations on what has been a really good season for you.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening today. We are both back on Tuesday, of course. In the meantime, you can find us on Instagram and X. Chloe is at morgie_89. I'm at Girls in the Ball, and we are at upfront_pod. You can also find us on YouTube at Upfront Pod. See you next week. I can't do your thing. That's your thing.
See you next week.
Bye. Yeah, I can't do that. I could do it, but it would just sound wrong.
I'd load it to you.
See you next. Bye.
You have to do it in an Irish accent. Yeah.
Slán go fáil.
Upfront is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of plan investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.